in a very familiar passage of scripture, St. Luke chapter 5. Some of you heard me preach out of this before, but we're not talking about the same thing. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And we pray we won't be before you long this morning. We have a lot to do.
Amen.
And a lot of celebrating to go on later this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Amen. Everybody has to say amen.
Amen.
All right. In the King James Version, you'll find these words as it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, that they began to sink. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the reading of the word. I want to talk to you from this thought this morning. When obedience and convenience are in conflict. When obedience and convenience are in conflict. Now I remember when I was a child growing up, my mother made, on Saturday mornings, she would make my brother, my sister and I get up in the morning early, and we would do chores around the house. Do y'all remember chores? Like washing the dishes, vacuuming the rug, taking out the trash, doing the windows. And yes, I did do windows.
Amen.
Cutting the grass and raking the leaves. For some of us, there was a monetary incentive on it. You know, that some of us would call it allowance. You know, if you wash the dishes, you got 50 cents. You took out the trash, you got a quarter. You cut the grass, you make it a dollar. But it taught us responsibility if we did it the way we were taught. Somehow or another, it was efficient for us. You know, it was to instill responsibility and efficiency and taking care of those things, even if it doesn't belong to us. Mm-hmm. Now I'm sure some of you were talented enough to play musical instruments. And you had to spend time in the house and you were rehearsing on your flute, your saxophone, your clarinet, your trombone, even on the drums and the piano. And in both cases, it taught discipline, responsibility, and how to do some things. And in both of those, you could hear friends. Y'all remember those days? While you were doing chores, your friends outside playing?
Yes.
You would hear children playing. And if you lived where I lived, you could hear them out in the back alley. They were calling your name. To your mother's response, don't you even go that way. Until you finish your chores. Or until you finish your rehearsal. Did you do your musical lesson? They would make fun of us and they would do those things to us. And then we tried to get slick. We would get up and do chores and we would have, come on, somebody half wash dishes every now and then. Because the kids were going down to the ballpark and you wanted to go play it. We wanted to go roller skate. So we just washed the outside. We would wash the outside of the ditch and leave the inside. We didn't care.
All right.
And we would put it face down, mom, I'm done. And we would immediately run out.
Yeah.
Put pushed the trash all the way as far to the bottom of the trash can as we could, hoping that when she looked, she didn't think the trash can was full.
All right.
Not realizing that smell still travels.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does.
Do those things, trying to make it convenient. But sometimes convenience conflicted with being obedient. Because I just told you, Mama would turn that bowl over and see that oatmeal stuck in still inside the bowl. And she would call us back in the house. And if your mama was like my mama, not only did I have to rewash the dishes, but I had to get a beating along with it to remind me to do all of the dishes and not just half a dish. Because sometimes we try for the sake of being convenient. We miss being obedient. Every now and then, we try to devise a way that we can spend less time on chores, on rehearsal, and all those other things that will take the shortcuts. Anybody remember those?
Yeah.
And yet, we'll do those things so we can get over. Even in our living today, we work on jobs. Now, we know going in when we took the job, they gave us the duties and the description of the job we are supposed to do. And they tell us what is required. And then they even tell us what time your lunch should be.
Mm-hmm.
And how long your lunch should be.
Yeah.
Howsoever, we try to do our work so we think fast enough so that we can take a little extra time on our lunch break or on our breaks or even make it look like we're doing work when we're really not working so that if they ask, oh yeah, I'm working. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Right.
We're trying to be convenient to do what we need to do, and yet we sometimes do not obey everything that we're told to do.
Oh, man.
See, this is the story that we find here in our text. See, there was some things going on, and yet while the disciples had already come back from fishing, Jesus shows up. People are around them, a multitude. They're down on the seashore, and people are around, and Jesus knew he needed to speak to the multitude. And he decided, well, there's no other better platform than to be on the water. He jumps on the boat and happened to belong to Peter. He tells Peter, let's go out in the water a little bit, and I'm going to talk to the folk. And I can only imagine Peter had been out there, because you heard his testimony. He had been out on the water, and he probably was there just, okay, how long is he going to be? He's borrowing my boat. He ain't going to pay me nothing for using it. You know, I get out here all night long. I got no fish. I got no money. And here this man taking up my time. Because if you remember the text, me and the fishermen were out of their boat washing their nets. Because again, they were fishing at nighttime. They get their nets together so they can get ready for the next night's fishing trip. They got to get some sleep in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I can imagine Peter like, you know what? This man is on my boat talking to these people. How long he going to talk? How long is it going to be? I was washing my nets and I ain't even finished doing that yet. I got to get back and finish my net washing. I got to go get stuff in my belly. I got to go get some sleep so we can be back on this water all night again because we caught nothing. Then all of a sudden, Jesus finished talking to the people. He looks down to Peter and said, hey, look here, man. Why don't you go out a little deeper? I can imagine Peter looked at him and said, I wish there was a way I could throw him off this. But let's go on. He sounded like he know what he's talking about. Even though I'm the fisherman, let's go on out to the deep. And he tells him to let down his nets for a catch. Here's the problem. First point. We need to follow the directions.
Oh my God.
Jesus asked Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Peter launches out his boat to the deep and he said, look at here. I don't know who you are, but I know who I am. I'm a fisherman. I've been out here all night long, caught nothing. Because I know in these waters, fish don't hang up in the daylight. They down at the bottom somewhere in the daylight. Ain't no need catching nothing because ain't nothing coming in. You saw I had nothing earlier. But nevertheless, I'ma humor you. He was trying to be convenient, but he wasn't obedient. So he failed to follow the instruction. Scripture tells us he throws his net, not net, net to overboard. All of a sudden, as soon as the net hit the water, the net filled up with fish. Mm-hmm. He had to call the other fellas to come and help him, mm-hmm. that the net was about to break. Sometimes when we're living this life, even though the word tells us not to do something, we think we can find a way to do it and still get away with it. I'm not talking about sinners, I'm talking about saints.
Amen.
Who's still trying to be on the down low.
Yeah.
I'm talking about saints who still trying to sneak it in.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about saints who try to do one thing on one side and something on the other side. I still believe that the scriptures tells us this, the wages of sin is death,
yeah.
but the gift of God is still eternal life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we need to follow the direction. If it say, do not steal, don't steal.
That's right.
If it say, do not kill, don't kill.
Yeah.
If it say, do not commit these acts that we do, we shouldn't be doing them.
All right.
Now, I understand we're not all perfect, and we're going to make mistakes over time, but those things we know not to do, we should not
That's
do.
That's right.
Because a lot of times we get in trouble for trying to think we can get over by half doing stuff. Don't you know God already knows what the intent of your heart is?
Yeah,
well, I'm going to give him half a praise. He already knew. You just made up in your mind.
Right.
You're going to give half a praise.
My Lord.
Fast forward. Ananias and Sapphira were supposed to bring their treasures to the prophet,
man.
To the man of God, to the apostle Paul, to the brothers. Matter of fact, it was Peter. And yet they had conjured up in their mind, because what was supposed to be done at that time, all of the people were to take what they had, sell it, whatever profit, bring it to the apostles' feet, and the apostles then were redistributing back to every person as they had need.
Uh-huh.
Ananias and Sapphira, they decided, you know, she listened to her husband, said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to split it, cut it. We're going to keep this much to ourselves, and we're going to put this in the offering.
Uh-huh.
And if they ask, and we're going to do this at separate times, so they won't know that we're together.
Uh-huh.
You put in this piece, I'll put in this piece, but we're holding back this much.
Uh-huh.
So I'll go first, and you wait about an hour, and then you show up. So Ananias goes up to the apostles' feet. Now, it's funny. The apostles already were discerning what happened.
Yes, yes, amen.
And he put in his little bit, and he says, is that all you got? He said, yep. I said, why you want to lie to the Holy Ghost?
Hmm.
And he fell dead. About an hour or so later,
yes.
Here come his wife, Sapphira. Uh-huh. She never saw her husband sucks. They departed. She coming happy, glad, thinking, oh yeah, we going to be convenient because we took care of ourselves first and we deal with God later.
Uh-huh.
Y'all hear what I just said?
Uh-huh.
We going to take care of ourselves first and we're going to take care of God later. So she come up and she didn't even get a chance to put her stuff in, and they already recognized who she was. Why you want to come and lie already?
Yeah.
You ain't putting nothing in, but we know who you are.
Yeah.
So this is what you're gonna put? Yes. Is that what? Is that all? That's all we got. Okay. You know what? The same people who just carried your husband out. Get ready. Here they are. They're gonna take you. She falls dead.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost knows.
Yes.
God already knows the intent of our heart.
Yes.
The law is just catching up with premeditated stuff.
My. That's a word.
A lot of times we try to be convenient because we think we're going to miss out on some stuff or we're going to lose some stuff. But I thank God, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Yes.
So that if, what, you know, just like the woman with the widow woman with the two mites, if you give all you have, watch what God does.
Amen.
Somebody told us 2 years ago, step out on faith. And I'm to be honest with you, I was almost scared.
Yes.
But we took a step.
Yes.
Now I'm running.
Yes.
Yes. I want to see what the end is going.
Yes.
I thank God, because then when you trust God, mm-hmm. follow the direction,
yeah.
the blessings will come.
Yeah.
Second, there is a consequence for being convenient. And I just talked about the wages of sin is death. And I talked about Ananias and Sapphira. See, a lot of times we try to be slick. We try to think we can fool God.
Oh,
but one thing about it, you might fool me, I might fool you. But you'll never fool God.
Right.
The word says what's done in secret will be rewarded open. And I don't always see, when we hear those words, we love when it comes to the blessing part of what's done in secret will be rewarded openly. But don't you know what you do in the dark will come to the light?
Amen.
I might not know it, but God already knows.
Yes. Amen.
And so because of not following direction, there will be consequences for being convenient. For being convenient, we are always trying to take the easy way out. We try to make it look suitable or just as close to getting it looking just right without putting any effort on it. You ever been a supervisor and you have to talk to your subordinates about how they need to do a letter and they say, bring me a letter, and they do a letter and they just make it look just barely like it's right? Mm-hmm. But anybody who knows administrative practices, you can just look and tell, boom. I used to work for a general, and he knew 12 pitch, double space, times Roman. Uh-huh. You can just hold him the paper and say, oh, it ain't right.
That's right.
Because he knew you didn't follow direction. He was an avid reader. He was a writer of his own. And he would just say, wrong. Go back and do it again. But the bad part about it, you didn't want him to tell you to go back and do it again. Because now you betrayed the trust. And you betrayed the integrity. The consequences is, sometimes you can be in a rightful place. And for being convenient, you can lose your place. Everybody's clamoring for titles, positions, and places. But if you trust God and be obedient to Him and stop trying to take the shortcut of the easy way, watch what God does in the other place. I just came back from a conference, and it was funny. I'm sitting there with people who were who's who. And I'm just a little peon. And everybody's saying, you need to go to Him. You need to go to Him. You need to go to Him. And I'm saying, why they got to come to me? Because I don't know these people, but yet God was showing me I can take those who are not known.
All right.
You heard?
That's a word.
While people are looking at us funny and they thinking, why you? Why them? Yeah. How they get? No. Just be obedient to God.
Yes. Amen.
I told you. Y'all on the map and just don't even know it. People got your name, your number, and your address, and you don't even know it. Stay faithful to God, because there's consequences for being convenient. We thank God that we were being convenient some time back when somebody almost emptied our pockets. And could have left us broke, busted, and disgusted. But yet Peter had to learn the lesson by letting down one net, only to realize that one net could not adequately hold the great multitude.
Jesus.
You're going to be tasked by God to step out on real faith.
Yes.
And we say, let down the nets, let them down.
Yes.
Because the problem was, the consequences was, how much fish did you lose? That's your blessing. How many blessings have we lost because we weren't obedient to God?
Yes.
The blessing just passed us by.
Yes.
That's why I love the song that said, while on others are our calling, do not pass me by.
Yes.
Because what God got for me, I want everything.
Oh,
yes. So now you got to be able to understand that by letting down your nets, you will not lose your opportunity. You will not lose your blessing. You will not lose your place. Lastly, even if it all happens, and it should be for your life, that some blessings roll around and pass you by, I just want to let you know one last thing. Jesus do allow for do-overs.
All right.
He does allow for do-overs. Even though Peter missed the mark this moment in chapter 5 of Luke, I found out something strange, and I discovered it last week. In John chapter 21, verses 2 through 6, Jesus had been crucified. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, but Jesus was crucified, and the brothers were now despondent. And all of a sudden, they decided in chapter 21 of John, Peter and the fellas sitting around wondering, twiddling their thumbs, what we going to do? Peter said, I go a fishing. So my brother said, well, we going with you.
All right.
Again, here goes the funny. They go out. They out all night. They come back in the morning. As they roll to shore, they had nothing. They see a gentleman walking across the shoreline. And the gentleman across the shoreline hollers, hey, children.
Yes.
Have you got any meat?
Mm-hmm.
hear them say it? No, we ain't catching nothing. I can imagine Peter, again, Peter being Peter as he always is. He was saying, who that fell out there gonna tell me my job again? We ain't caught nothing. We been out here. And you got to read the record because it was funny. And Peter was even, in those days, naked. Because the kind of clothing they wore, the type of climate they were in, they's hot.
Yeah.
So they just do whatever they can to cool themselves the best way they know how. And so the gentleman on the shoreline turned back into him and said, well, hey, look here. Why don't you throw your nets on the right side of the boat? Now, the funny thing was, in John's translation, he said, net. The gentleman said, throw your net on the right side of the boat. And for some reason, Peter and him didn't argue his position. He heard net. See, Peter and him said, well, let's throw it on over anyway. And it said, the word says that when they threw the net to the right side of the boat, again, a great multitude of fish got in it,
right.
So much so that they had to drag the net to shore.
Yes.
Another brother whom Jesus loved recognized who the man on the shoreline was and said, that's Jesus.
Yes.
Peter heard that word. He got his clothes back on and jumped in the water and realized, I knew if I followed the direction that was given to me, not take the consequences for missing the direction, I got a chance to do a redo.
Yes.
And he ran up to Jesus because Jesus does give opportunities for do-overs.
Uh-huh.
There are other individuals in scripture that you'll find that got opportunities for do-overs. But they missed it, some got it right.
Uh-huh.
Adam and Eve could have done a do-over, but they missed it.
Yes.
Had Adam been bold enough to say, look, we're going to stand in the middle of God.
Yes.
And I'll let God know I messed up early.
Yes.
Not by listening to you and blaming you. I'll take the credit for myself. I'll take the blame.
Yes.
And it could have been, reconciliation could have been made right there in the garden. Abraham got messed up by listening to his wife saying, because of the fact we old and I'm childless, yeah, you take my handmaid and you have children by her, even though God said, I'll make you a father of many nations. God's plan is not our plan. We got to trust and hold it in the plan. So Sarah offers up her handmaid only to have her handmaid have a child who she despised. And had to send the child and the mother away only to later have the child that God intended for Abraham to have.
Yes.
Even David messed up when he had Uriah killed just to take Bathsheba. You had all the women in your harem and you got to get this one lady.
Wow.
But yet God was still a man. I mean, David was still a man after God's own heart. Samson, which we're going to see in a couple of weeks, even had a chance to do over. He was supposed to have been the mighty man of Israel to fight against the Philistines. He failed in his job when he took a Philistine woman by the name of Bathsheba. And yet, even at this final end, he asked God, give me the strength to do one last thing. And God gave him a do over. You have a do over. All you got to do is ask him. Say, God, give me the chance to do it over. Wash me over again.
Yes.
Wash me over again. Yes. With your precious blood, wash me over again. And watch the Lord take you and give you an opportunity to make it right with him again.
Uh-huh.
I thank God because there is a consequence, but yet he gives you the ability to do it over. And I guarantee you, when you trust God and you're obedient to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. That way you don't have to worry about conflicting or being in a conflict between obedience and convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Convenience, yeah, is quick, fast, and easy.
Yeah.
But the easy way is not always the best way.
Uh-huh.
And folks are trying to do stuff real fast. God doesn't want a microwave church.
All right.
He wants people that have a heart for him.
Yeah.
And as he told the woman at the well, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
So with these, I leave you these words. Trust God with all your heart.
Yes.
Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths.